here are the telephone numbers for our second hour of the Bible study, the Ask the Pastor Hour. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest in this hour, he is a trooper, I tell you. He is a church up in Quincy, Illinois, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, Pastor Larry Troxell, and he chooses to make the long drive down here, which is, they've never made the drive from here to Quincy easy. It's easier, but it's still not easy. But he,
easier.
You're in the Pastor Tom Handrick class. He always drives all the way up here, too, and, it's, and I appreciate that.
Didn't he and I start the Long Distance Pastors Club here?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to put Lukomsky in that club, too, because he's,
absolutely.
He's not quite in your class, but he does drive 42 miles one way to get here. Thank you, sir. It is more, let's say less difficult for me when the pastor is in the studio and we can make eye contact, we can have a conversation. The telephone works well, but the studio works better, and so...
I agree. It's easier on me if I can stare you in the face and try to figure out from where is this man coming.
Exactly. I see if I can tip my hand a little bit with my facial expression. So here's why I am not a pastor. Why God was pretty smart by making me a radio person. Because you were telling me before we went on the air that you had a challenging week last week.
An emotional roller coaster, and it started about 18 minutes after 3 on Sunday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
When you get the phone call that you don't like to get.
Yeah.
Was summoned to the hospital by the mother of a young, single, 30-year-old deputy sheriff. She and her husband were on their way to the hospital because they had just received the phone call that their son was severely injured in an off-duty ATV accident and suffered massive skull injuries and some other injuries as well. And about 6 o'clock, he officially, as far as the medical profession is concerned, was declared to be gone, to be with our Lord. And as we look back on everything we were told, our Lord probably summoned him home the instant his head hit a tree. And we became just...
I don't know how you do that. I don't know rings at 3:18 in the morning, and you probably know exactly when it was because it was dark. You looked at the clock first thing.
Exactly.
And, how do you pick up the phone? How do you engage at 3:18 in the morning?
You listen to the voice on the other side, and these are people I know that I've known for 27 years. This young man is the same age as my older son.
Mm-hmm.
He was pursuing his calling from the Lord in a career that my younger son is about 1 year from entering.
Mm.
So we get all
Keep
kinds
your
of emotional.
Son off the ATVs, will you?
Oh yeah, and or at least wear a helmet.
Yeah, he didn't have a helmet on.
No,
yeah.
No, he was on. Unfortunately, an unfamiliar road that had a sharp bend, and he didn't know the bend was
there. So that was the low point in the roller coaster ride of last week.
Right, and then we spent a couple of days planning the ultimate police funeral. And the funeral was Thursday morning, and Thursday evening I had wedding rehearsal because Friday evening we had the wedding of the daughter of one of our judges. She just graduated from West Point, and the groom graduated from West Point a year ago, and at the end of July, he goes to Iraq.
So in like 24 hours, you go from down dark in the valley to right up there on the mountaintop, joy and happiness everywhere.
Yes, and you reach for every passage of Scripture that applies to both.
Yeah. I don't know how
and
you do it.
It was, well...
God bless our pastors, I want to tell you.
Two thoughts. Number one, I think this past week, more than ever before in my 39 years in the ministry, did I realize how much a pastor truly does grieve for his people. And number two, the great sufficiency of the Word of God and of His Holy Spirit.
All right. Here, take 5 or 10 seconds, get relaxed, and here comes trouble, okay?
Okay.
Again, our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I have a piece of audio. Actually, it's video. But for our purposes and our listeners' purposes, it'll be audio from ABC News involving some very interesting and mysterious experiences that a young, I think he's about 7-year-old boy has been having. And let's listen to this together.
We do have a remarkable story for you this morning. 5 years ago, James Leiniger was only 2 years old, and he started to have terrible recurring nightmares. Told his parents vivid details about planes and battles from World War II. So the question is, could a toddler born 50 years after the war possibly know these kinds of facts? His parents had to find out.
I just go climb this thing and you have to hold me in case I fall.
Done.
From his earliest days, James Leiniger knew a lot about planes, especially war planes.
What kind of airplane is that?
It's a Corsair.
At 2, he began to have frequent nightmares about them.
And I'd say, baby, what were you dreaming about? And he'd say, airplane crash on fire, little man can't get out.
The nightmares continued for months. His parents were baffled.
My mom had said maybe he's remembering a past life.
What did you say?
Politely? Baloney.
But soon his parents became convinced that James was in fact remembering the life of James M. Houston, a Navy fighter pilot shot down 60 years earlier in World War II.
Bruce said, what happened to your plane? He said, it crashed on fire. And Bruce said, why did your airplane crash? And he said, it got shot. And Bruce said, well, who shot your plane? And I'll never forget the look on his face. He went, the Japanese!
I believe that he had a past life. I believe that in his past life he was James M. Houston Jr. And he came back because he wasn't finished with something.
Ready? Oh, boy. Now, there's a new book out by the family. It's called Soul Provider. It's all about Soul Survivor.
Soul Survivor.
Soul Provider. It's a different book. I read all the time. Soul Survivor. Interesting to note right off the bat, Andrea, you took years to decide to write this book. This isn't something that was some flash in the pan and an idea you went with. It's taken time to accept.
Right. It has taken time to accept. I think Bruce and I decided together there was so much interest in the story. Mm-hmm. Everyone who heard it said you need to write a book about it. And for me personally, I've begun to discover that this is not an unusual phenomenon. Many children experience past life memories like James has, but there's not any resources out there for us to go to find.
All right. The basic claim here is that this boy, and we have the advantage of seeing the video here, that this boy, 7 years old now, is reincarnated. That in a previous life he was a World War II fighter pilot, and that's why he remembers these things. Now, the dad, when first questioned about this, politely said, baloney. He has now been converted to believe that that there is a reincarnation here. So, do you have another answer besides baloney, Pastor?
Actually, I like the father's reaction first off, baloney. I'd like to be a little bit more gentle about it, perhaps, but when you look at Scripture, this is where you have to come down. In the letter to the Hebrews, we have the classic verse, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that face judgment. In other words, I like the old Schlitz beer commercial.
Schlitz beer, now,
yes.
For those of you folks who are, like, under 60... It used to be a pretty popular beer.
Used to. But and it was brewed in another state in another big town. We won't go there. The commercial that they ran said, you only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can get. The first half of that is true. I'd have a debate about the second half. But Scripture clearly tells us that we have one life. We are conceived, we are born, we live, we die, and from the moment of our death, we are in eternity, in the Lord's hands, and there is no reincarnation.
So you have Scripture as your supporting evidence. That is your truth source.
Yes.
But these parents, and if you could see them, they are obviously polished people. They look like professional people, articulate, well-spoken, educated people. Their son is seated with them. He's dressed up in a tie. Everybody is all buttoned up nice and tight. They have the evidence of their son sitting right with them. They have the evidence of their experience, months and months of dreams, and as they put it, details that couldn't come from anywhere else. And they're going to put that up against your scripture source. I'm not sure that scripture can overcome this for them.
For them, maybe not. But it is the only source I have. Our Savior, on the night before he died, in his great high priestly prayer, prayed, "Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." That's where I have to come down. There is so much about the human mind that no one understands. There's so much about the human mind that remains unexplored, is unexplainable. And I certainly am not going to say that God couldn't somehow have created this memory in this boy. But this boy is a unique individual, not a recycling of a former human being.
I don't know if these parents are Christians or not. If they are, if you were their pastor, how would you go about counseling them in this situation?
Very carefully, very patiently, very gently. They have apparently
if your truth is you're appointed once to die, mm-hmm. and that's it, mm-hmm. That's pretty clear, pretty direct.
Yes.
You're going to soften that up somehow?
Well, first of all, unless they are brand new converts, they've heard that. They've been taught that. They have been believing that. So then they're going through some sort of mental struggle trying to understand. And so, yes, I'm going to deal gently with them, reminding them gently of the truth of what Holy Scripture says and looking at their situation and trying to understand it with them in a way that does not violate Scripture, but also deals with the reality of the situation. And that's why I said there's so much we do not know about the human mind.
So, see, I'm reading so much into this because we have this report, and just because these people are well-dressed and articulate, I don't know how much you can conclude from that. But it appears that when the possibility of reincarnation was posed to the Father, he rejected that out of hand. Baloney, he says. Which suggests that he's not some kind of sucker who would just fall for any kind of P.T. Barnum ploy. He was persuaded. His mind was changed over time by his experience and the evidence that was before him. So to come along and say to him, no, that's, I don't care what you've seen, I don't care what you've experienced, we can't subtract the word of God here. Well, that's, it's going to take more than one or two sessions to maybe change his mind to something else.
Absolutely. Also, in the beginning of my former reply, remember I said, if these were parishioners of mine who had been instructed in the Word of God before this event happened, there's more of a foundation on which to operate. Now, I hear I would be, from your approach, I am being placed as a latecomer who has no relationship with these people up to this point, but now after their minds have somehow been convinced of the reality of reincarnation, now I have to come in and dissuade them. That's going to be a whole nother process.
Sometimes I know this happens to pastors because you just can't be intimately involved with all the families in your congregation 24/7.
True.
Sometimes it happens where and I'm creating a hypothetical situation where Pastor Troxell is minding his own business, and he happens to be watching ABC News, and, hey, there are his members.
Mm-hmm.
There they are. They're on television. Wow, that's
wow.
exciting. And they believe in reincarnation. Now, that's not quite as serious as the 318 phone call, but it's a pretty serious thing. And I'm going to ask you to quantify here. Do your best job on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most alarmed and 1 being the least alarmed. You find out that there are two people and a child in your congregation who are advocating for reincarnation on ABC News. How alarmed are you?
About a 5. Yes, it's a true concern because they are taking a position other than what Holy Scripture allows. But if they are my parishioners and I've had a relationship with them, maybe not close personal, but I've known them over a period of months or years, I'm going to approach them and I'm going to say, could we talk about this?
Do you think their faith is in jeopardy?
That's one of the questions we'd have to explore. For what are they trusting? Their son's salvation and their own salvation. Is it still solidly in the word and promises on the completed work of Christ Jesus on our behalf, or is it now moved to something else? And then we'll just have to go back into the word, and we're talking months, maybe years, and depending on how patient they are with me, we could go on, or they may finally say, Pastor, we just don't want to talk about it anymore. You're causing too much confusion in our minds, and we choose to go with reincarnation. And then they would have to make a choice. And it would be their choice, not mine, because I would want to continue.
Between what and what?
Between either continuing to stand with us in Scripture or going their own way. But as I said, this is months and months or years and years down the road.
So if I were to say, well, that's tomfoolery, reincarnation, these poor people have been duped. No, it can't be reincarnation. I tell you what it is. It's the ghost of the World War II fighter pilot. Oh, I have a very strong belief in parapsychology, the paranormal. I watch all the ghost shows on the Learning Channel and, you know, ghost hunters and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, please.
Well, you know, there's
probably, it's interesting.
Probably somebody who's listening to us who thinks that I know what's going on there. The kid's being visited by the ghost of the fighter pilot, and that's where he's hearing the information. That's where he's getting the stories. He's not reincarnated. It's paranormal.
I would tend to entertain the possibility that this might indeed be some manifestation of. Hang on to your seat. Keep your headphones on.
Wait, I get my seatbelt on here.
Make sure your glasses are on firmly, and please don't pull the lever on the trap door under my chair.
Yeah.
But this may be a case where one of the fallen angels, one of the agents of Satan, is actually working in this child's mind.
Demonic activity. Well, now, I've seen The Exorcist, so I'm not that. I can take my seatbelt off now. I'm not so blown away by that.
I visited the monastery from which The Exorcist came.
What's it like to be a pastor where, on one hand, you have to say, no, reincarnation, that's not true. All you got to do is read your Bible. That's not true. But maybe a demon is involved. You got one group of people who are saying, what? You still believe in demons? Come on, this is the 21st century, man. What do you say?
Take a look at what's operating in the background behind any chemical dependency. And you are seeing something that comes very close to demonic operation if it's not demonic operation.
So?
Besides, then we have historic figures such as De Führer, Adolf Hitler. Whom, and this may be apocryphal, so I'm not going to pin my salvation on this story, but somewhere in my past I've been told that it was in 1942 that the German High Command went to Hitler and said, we cannot win. And his reply was, then we will take down as much of the world with us as possible. And that is Satan talking.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the Bible study.
Well, good morning, Chad. My take on this is, this is like a child who has the multiple characters in his brain, such as, you know, the programs of the past of the carry and then the one, and even more multiple characters.
Right. Multiple
and,
personalities.
And I just think that this is dealing, once again, with the brain that it, we don't know what all is out there, and there's so much. And I am inclined to think that way, not reincarnation. I don't believe
so you
that.
Think it's a psychological phenomenon?
I do think it's psychological, and it's psychological within the brain itself of that child.
All right. Pastor, what do you think?
I lean in her direction. We have these documented cases of people with multiple personalities. Now, from where do they come? Possibly even some from demonic sources.
You know, way back in the 70s when The Exorcist came out.
Yes.
And if you saw that movie, I presume that you saw that movie.
No, I didn't.
You did not see that movie? Okay.
I just cannot handle that emotionally.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have an emotional experience if you see that movie. The girl, the little girl who is possessed in the movie, mm-hmm. is experiencing all kinds of strange phenomena. And the mother is trying to address the issue. She's trying to, and she's visiting doctors, and she's visiting psychologists, and they're doing tests. Eventually, she goes to a priest, and then the priest begins to talk to her about, well, this might be a spiritual phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
She repeats that to the psychologists, and oh, they scoff. Oh, you know, this is in the Middle Ages, lady. Come on, you know. What do you say to the scoffers? If multiple personalities are present and there is a psychological phenomenon that identifies that, we could leave it at that and just say that it's a phenomenon of psychology. But you say it might be a spiritual phenomenon as well. And then the scoffers arrive. What do you say?
I find it interesting how close-minded those who claim to be open-minded are when it comes to spiritual matters. And how dare we rule out any possibility?
Well, we rule it out because we're sophisticated 21st century, highly educated, highly advanced Western civilized people who can't be tainted with the suggestion that some kind of Middle Ages superstitious nonsense is going on in our lives. That's how.
Well, then we might as well just hang up the whole radio station.
No, we don't want to do that.
No, we don't. But see, that's the point. If Jesus, you know, in the mind of the scoffers, Jesus Christ may have been a great teacher, but Savior, that's a whole different matter.
That is a whole different matter. You're listening to the Bible Study at the Ask the Pastor Hour with Pastor Larry Troxell of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Quincy, Illinois. We'll be back after this short break.
Sometimes listeners remind us that where we are is where we're supposed to be. For example, this listener writes from my home state of Minnesota, Diane, did you know that this morning International Falls set a record low for this date? It was 40 below. Brr. Here in the Twin Cities, we won't see zero today. And then there's the wind chill. Bring back Minnesota memories. Enjoy balmy St. Louis. Here at AM 850 KFUO, we do enjoy hearing from you about your world, however frozen it might be.
Enjoy the sounds of summer with your family and friends at the Whitaker Music Festival at the Missouri Botanical Garden. This summer, enjoy the musical talents of many noted St. Louis area performers as the popular Whitaker Music Festival returns to the Missouri Botanical Garden. The outdoor concerts will be held through August 5th in the Cohen Amphitheater at 7:30 p.m. Best of all, admission is free at the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Why don't humans use their feet like their hands? The answer is next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
If man is the result of billions of years of evolution from the simplest of creatures, evolution predicts that man should have retained most, if not all, of the best abilities of those other creatures in his heritage. According to evolution, our ape-like ancestors had opposing toes, just as we have opposing thumbs. If we had retained those opposing toes, we could pick up things without bending over. The female chimp can pull 1,260 pounds with one arm. That would be pretty handy facility. But then there is the hero shrew of Uganda, just 6 inches long, but it can support the weight of a 160-pound man on its back. Even the lowly snail can pull up to 200 times its own weight and lift 10 times its own weight. Then what about the trilobite, right at the bottom of the evolutionary ladder and supposedly extinct for 300 million years? This little fellow had the most sophisticated eye lenses, actually double lenses, ever found in nature. Since all of these abilities would be greatly beneficial for us, why didn't evolution let us keep or develop these abilities as we evolved? The answer is simple. We have not evolved. Rather, we have been made by a creator who made us for the purpose of a relationship with himself through his son, Jesus Christ.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive. The folks at Reliable Heating and Cooling remind you that during this in-between season, between the extremes of winter and summer, it's generally easier to arrange for a service checkup on your furnace or your air conditioner. That tip courtesy of Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive, a corporate underwriter of AM 850 KFUO.
You've told your friends and family about the Christ Center teaching you hear on AM 850 KFUO. You listen to your favorite program every day. Have you considered becoming an AM 850 KFUO day sponsor? As a day sponsor, you choose a day, an anniversary, birthday, any special day, and then your message will be heard throughout that day several times. Go to our website at kfuo.org or call AM 850 KFUO and become a day sponsor. Thank you in advance for your consideration.
...505-7850-1800-730-2727. If you'd like to join us here in our conversation as it pertains to this story from ABC News, a husband and wife, mom and dad, who believe that their 7-year-old boy, based on his behavior and the experience they've had with him, is the reincarnation of a World War II fighter pilot. Now, Pastor Larry Troxell has been addressing this from a pastoral perspective. And it would appear to me, anyway, that he's put himself between a bit of a rock and a hard place. Just my perspective now, Pastor.
That's fine.
Just my perspective.
That's fine. You always have an interesting one.
You scoff. You scoff at the notion that reincarnation could be involved. But you hold open the possibility that there might be some supernatural, demonic activity involved. Now, make up your mind. Are you going with the science or are you going with the spiritual? You can't reject one on the other, one hand and retain it on the other. How do you respond?
Well, first of all, before I ever went off to seminary, my training was in both chemistry and physics as well as math. So I have a definite love for the scientific, but my first love is with the Lord of creation and the Lord of science. And his word has to be the ultimate authority in all of this. And it's his word that says there is no reincarnation. So then we have to look for other possible explanations for what's going on. And we have talked about multiple personalities, and then that leaves the door open for, okay, what's the possibility? And you even use the word might. What's the possibility of a demonic component to all of this? And that would have to be carefully explored by those who are experts in that field.
All right, let's change the subject here.
Okay.
This is a story from the Sun, which comes from the United Kingdom. And the story says that the headline is, "A frog that constantly changes color is believed to be God." You scoff.
That is what makes coming for this program so much fun. I never know where your mind is going.
You scoff. Now this is a...
Is God.
Can you see the picture here?
I can see the picture of the rainbow frog, yes.
The rainbow frog.
Reminds me of chameleons that we used to catch and take to our parochial school.
You
decades
took God
ago.
To parochial school?
No, we took, no, chameleons.
Ah. This is written by...
This is India. Okay.
By Virginia Wheeler. The headline is, "A frog that constantly changes color is being worshipped as a god in India. Hundreds of curious followers flock to Reji Kumar's home every day. Why? To pray and ask for miracles. Now one of the country's top zoologists plans to study the rainbow frog, but Reji, who is, that's R, I guess I'm pronouncing that correctly, R-E-G-I, 35-year-old Reji, who keeps the creature in a glass bottle after finding it while out watering plants, is afraid that it might, they say, croak, and by that they mean die.
Yes.
He is quoted as saying, "My one problem is that this frog does not appear to eat. I keep trying to feed it, but it doesn't eat anything. I don't know what else to give it." The frog was a dazzling white color when Reji, from someplace in Kerala, India, first spotted it. Then it changed to yellow and had gone gray by the time he got home. Lift worker Reji added, "By night, the frog was dark yellow, and then it became transparent, so you could see its internal organs. Mm. It seemed like a miracle to me that this frog had so many different coats. So now people come to see him and pray to him." He explained, "Frogs do change color to scare away predators. But from what I have heard, the frog at Kumar's place changes color so frequently it is a bit unusual. I will collect it for study." And while he's studying it, people are coming to pray to it to ask for miracles. Now, Pastor, you should have a sense of decorum here, a sense of seriousness. We have the God frog on the...
Why?
It changed colors of the rainbow frog. Now, what say you?
Part of God's creation and the way he makes it adaptable to preserve its life from predators. Let's let it go at that. This is the creature, not the creator. And the very fact that the man who now holds it in captivity is afraid it may die certainly says this is not God.
Well, I think over there in India they got lots of gods. So they got
I'm
room
sure
for
do.
A rainbow frog god.
Mm-hmm.
But what does this tell us about, you know, we just went from listening to, as I said before, an apparently polished, educated, mm-hmm. articulate mom and dad making the case for reincarnation over to India, where people are praying to a frog. A technicolor frog at that. That's all the evidence I think you need, that you got a god frog there.
It proves how gullible people are, especially when they are not in a relationship with the living God. I believe it was Augustine who made the comment that inside of every human being there's an empty space that can only be filled by God. And these people are trying to fill that empty space with anything else that comes along because they, number one, have never had the opportunity to hear of the true and living God or number two, have heard and said, no, that's not for me.
Now, in our country, if you want to talk about Jesus Christ, that's getting increasingly more difficult.
Yes.
Fewer and fewer places where you can do that, you know, in city council chambers, maybe the legislature of a state. Got to be careful. Chaplains in the military, you know, if they utter the words Jesus Christ, I'm not sure we can have that. While halfway around the world, we've got people praying to the frog god. It seems to me that there's something underway here. I'm not quite sure what it is. Maybe it's that depravity thing that Paul was talking about in the book of Romans. Maybe it's just good for a chuckle, and maybe it's more serious than that. What do you think?
Well, what seriousness people might be seeing in something like that simply is a reaffirmation of the condition in which humanity has existed ever since the fall into sin. And we've been struggling with it ever since. You mentioned about how difficult it is to mention even God in general in certain public settings. But to go back to last week when that deputy sheriff died, the sheriff and his chief deputy both were at my office in our church discussing the funeral that would be held in our church, and were very open to hearing scripture and the gospel and dealing with a lot of emotions at that point with the promises of Jesus concerning the life that he gives, the unending life he gives to those who trust in him.
You know, when we're really desperate, when we encounter a situation like that one that you described, if you're the parents of that 30-year-old deputy sheriff, and your life has just been, I don't know what the word is, but it's bad.
Devastated.
Thing. Devastated. If you got a frog god somewhere that could maybe do something for you, I mean, you need a miracle. If all the evidence from a pastor is bad and the evidence from the medical people is bad, maybe the frog god can help. You know,
no,
you laugh, but you know,
the evidence from the pastor
turned to a golden idol in the desert.
Yes, when the rabble gained control and Moses was not around, and that's why I thank God that 1 minute after the parents got the phone call, they were on the phone call to me, and throughout it, they wanted to hear the promises of Jesus. And what they said, I take absolutely no credit for on my own. It is simply their way of saying, thank God that his word and promises were here. They kept saying, Pastor, I don't know how we would have made it through this without you. But ultimately, it was without the promises of Jesus, because they knew those promises. They held on to those promises. And even before their son had been officially pronounced dead, they were saying, Pastor, the funeral will be at church. When the chips are really down, you want the God who is there, the God who has revealed himself in his Son, Christ Jesus, who suffered, died, and rose for us and makes all the difference in this life and in eternity, not a frog God who changes colors on you.
Well, you know, I'm just, I'm inclined, like you, to laugh this one off a little bit. It is humorous. If you stop and think about somebody coming to the Indian home here to ask for a miracle from the rainbow frog, that's pretty funny stuff when you think about it. Except for if you really need something, if you live in India and people mm-hmm. in India are in desperate need in so many ways, and there you are on your knees praying to the rainbow frog, that's very sad at the same time.
It is. I'm glad you used that word. That's the word I was thinking. This is so sadly humorous because it speaks of the emptiness which exists in the lives of these people. And Again, the very fact that they are praying to a rainbow God is saying that they are counting on their works and their actions and their activity and their spiritual awareness or whatever to avail them of something rather than the free gift of Jesus Christ. And I understand that Christian mission work in India is very slow going, but that's why we still have Christians there bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In those hours after 3:18 on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. by the time 24 hours had passed, all hope was gone.
Mm-hmm.
The young man was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, doesn't sound like it happened with you on this particular occasion, but sometimes maybe people look at Pastor and say, where was God when we needed him? Why did God allow this to happen? What did we do to deserve this? So, does he ever get those kind of questions, Pastor?
Yes,
and how
I
do. How do you respond to those?
The question I love is, where was God? Because the answer is the same place where he was when his own son died for all of us. And we talked about the fact that God knows what the dad and the mom were feeling all this past week and still are feeling, because God lost his own son. And he did it willingly so that he would not have to lose any of us. And what marvelous love that is. I'm not ready to give up either one of my sons or either one of my daughters. But our Heavenly Father willingly gave up his own son for each and for all of us, and even for the worst of us.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Virgil Kelms on the line here. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yes, good. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Virgil. How are you?
I'm doing great. If I can go, your answer just now was so good. You know, where was God? Well, same place when he lost his own son. And that's really an answer I get quite often in a question form when people say, how can you believe in a God who allows war, death, disease? You know, and I really don't know. I don't understand that totally. But he's the same God that allowed his own son to suffer and die so that we might have life. And that doesn't give a solid answer, but it maybe causes them to think a little bit. But if I can go back to your multicolored frog, reincarnation, and I guess I put this in my thinking as I preached last Sunday, John 3:1-17, you know, Nicodemus was told by Jesus, well, first he thought, he wondered if he could be born again, and Jesus said, no, we're speaking of spiritual things. I don't know if that's a stretch or if that gives answer to reincarnation, but no, a man can't be born again physically. But
Good point.
A lot. It seems like a lot of college, university students, young people buy into this Eastern mystic kind of thing. I was talking with my son recently as we did a journey, and had some few hours to talk, and a lot of his friends who, believe it or not, you know, some have graduated from Lutheran High South, where he graduated, buy into, or at least think about seriously, the reincarnation thing, and people that he works with, you know, younger generation, just sort of creeps in. And as you said, when we don't have hope in Christ, then we begin looking elsewhere. But I've listened to Robbie Zachariah. He's on several times on the weekend, and of course he's from India, converted at the age of 17 when he tried to commit suicide, and he's a very good apologist. Recommend people to listen to him, because right now he's dealing with this whole topic of reincarnation, and I won't continue to go on and on. They can listen, but and I won't make his argument, but one thing that I do hear from him, and I think it conclusively answers the whole question. They believe in karma and paying off sins from a former life and all this kind of thing within Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
But Robbie's question was, well, what about the first birth into this fallen world? What kind of karma are we paying? What sins are we paying if we're born the first time? And I said, boy, that clinches that argument.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That is great. Thank you,
Pastor.
All right, very good. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
He's filled in for me on a number of occasions because it's so difficult to find a fill-in pastor when you're on vacation.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Sally, you're on the Bible study.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I agree with the pastor that I do believe, in regards to this little boy, that it is a result of the devil. And just to back up some other things that I was thinking this morning as you all were discussing it, when I was younger, the devil appeared to me that he would only be a scary being. He was the one with the pointy ears and the pointy tail and the red suit, and he only came in scary movies I watched or a scary dream. But as I read God's word more thoroughly, obviously the verse in regards to the devil, he comes in sheep's clothing, and that he's lurking, I think, in very attractive areas to you and me. And so that's when I thought of, why would he not? Why would the devil not use a young, sweet little boy? And now that little boy is on TV with thousands of viewers. And wasn't it commented that his mother has written a book on it?
Yep.
So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, the devil has reached thousands of people through media and TV and this sweet little boy. Hence, why would he not possibly be attractive in a colored frog? Not in just a green frog.
Very good.
So, no, I think the devil appears very attractive to us and not scary and unapproachable.
Thank you, Sally.
Okay, thank you.
St. Paul says that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light, so we have to be very careful to test the, quote, spirits, unquote, that come to us to see if they are consistent with all that Scripture says or not.
I know that there is no century, there is no generation, there is no era when the Christian faith is not being challenged by something.
Right.
However, in your experience, is Eastern mysticism making inroads into your people who are in your care? Is reincarnation making inroads into the people who are entrusted into your care? Do you feel like there are more enemies of the faith than maybe in the past?
I haven't run into that in so many of the people entrusted to my care, but keep in mind that Islam is the most rapidly growing, quote, religion, unquote, in the U.S. today, and that says something. The comment from Pastor Kelm about people whom his son knows. Kids in high school and on college campuses, while they may not buy into reincarnation or Islam or one of these other isms wholeheartedly, are at least interested in exploring to see, let's see what's out there. They're exploring this whole new world to them and wanting to see what's out there. And we need to make sure that they are, first of all, as well instructed in Scripture before they start that explanation as we can. But they're going to look. They're going to try. Kids always reach out and try to find where are the limits.
There's another caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Linda, you're on the Bible study.
Hi, Brother Radford. Pastor. Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
Your comment when people ask the question, where was God? And you say, God was where he was when his son died. And their next question is going to be, but his son rose again. And then you have the wonderful news. You've got to answer that second question. My son's in heaven, and I read a poem, and someone was asking God. They said, I hurt. And they said, he says, so is yours. You know, where were you? And it says, my son died too. And then you say, but he arose again from the dead. And then God says, and yours is too. Your loved one is risen again from the dead because his son died. So that's the second answer you need to address when someone, that's their first thing they're going to say, Well, he rose again from the dead. And then remind them, because Jesus died, your loved one arose again from the dead, too.
And Linda, you've walked this walk. I know. You lost.
Oh, yeah.
You lost a...
I didn't lose him. And the Lord had to teach me. It's been 12 years, the 17th of this month. And he teaches me to answer two questions. Do you believe me? And do you trust me with his life? Do you trust that I will reunite you someday? And he makes me answer these questions. And I trust him to take care of my little fawn till I get there.
Thank you,
right.
Linda.
And
God bless you.
That's also why our funeral services are resurrection-oriented. That's the message that comes through our entire funeral liturgy and through the sermon. And if it's not there, somebody hasn't done his job. I thank God that I have the privilege of speaking those resurrection promises. Not only is this 30-year-old deputy in heaven, but that body we buried is coming back, and he's going to be so fantastic when his folks see him. How wonderful that is. And that's where their peace and their confidence is, and that's what carries them through this. Not a Technicolor frog or any other type of reincarnation.
So with what we've seen today on display, people heading off in the pulling the reincarnation thread, following that thread, or admittedly people in India under, I guess, Hindu influence, worshiping a rainbow frog, or Islam on the move here in the United States. What do you do, Pastor? Do you just sort of stay focused on the law and the gospel and expect that to carry to the day? Or do you need to look around you and see what threats there are and prepare your people so that if one of those threats emerges in their lives, they're ready?
Can I borrow something from our friend Tom Baker? We're training teachers. Yes, I've got to be continually preparing my people for what lies ahead. And that's really important for me right now, because in 2 months I'm retiring, and I want to make sure they're ready to go on. They've got a great new pastor coming in. We'll install him Sunday. But I want to make sure these people are prepared in the Word for going on with everything that lies before them and me. We have no idea what's coming down the road, except that Jesus is going to be there with us, with his word, and his word never fails.
The next time you visit us here, and I know you will,
mm-hmm.
there'll probably be something new. There'll probably be something
in
between now and then that I might be a rainbow frog. Who knows? Might be a golden calf.
And Jesus, the scripture says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That is Pastor Larry Troxell. Pastor at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Quincy, Illinois, at least for another couple of months, right?
Yes.
And then retired, and what are you going to do then?
My doctor said absolutely nothing for 6 months, but he didn't bar me from driving down here.
God bless the doctor.
Yes.
Tomorrow we'll take up Colossians 2, verses 1 through 5 with Pastor John Schmidtke. Thanks for listening.
Listen to Chuck Ratherton guests Monday through Friday at the same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.